When it comes to being organic, the government says everybody's got to play by the same rules, whether they sell $1 or $10 million worth of product. This declaration leads us to ask, why is the government going after the little gal instead of the big guys?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 693rd edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Brisbane who are tuned in as we stream along in the radio page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
Folks, in the beginning there was the word, and the word was organic. The word provided small farmers shelter from the giants of agribusiness and allowed them to develop a market for the hand-sown, home-grown foods. Customers loved the idea of getting something special to eat and were perfectly willing to pay a pretty penny extra to buy the word. And so the word quickly spread far and wide across the land, making small farmers and their customers happy. Then someone got the idea that the word should be given over to the government for safekeeping. And so petitions were passed around and signed, and thus the word was made law. Now the word is owned by the NOP and SOPs of government. NOP is the National Organic Program, which is a subsidiary of the United States Department of Agriculture. SOPs are the state organic programs, which are subsidiaries of state agencies like the California Department of Food and Agriculture. The NOPs and SOPs have lots of rules and regulations to govern who may and who may not use the word organic. And as is the case with all government rulemaking, these rules and regulations were developed with help of some very special interests. So the word became big business, and now organic is likely, as not, made in China. But what are the small farms that invented the word? Everybody's got to play by the same rules, whether they sell $1 or $10 million worth of product, says Rick Jensen, Chief of Inspection and Compliance for the California Department of Food and Agriculture. Mr. Jensen's declaration leads us to ask, why are the NOP and SOPs of government going after the little gal instead of the big guys? Here to help us dig for an answer, we have the little gal herself, and that would be Sharon Grossi from the She's a farmer from the Valley End Farm up in Sonoma County, California. Sharon, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you.
Glad to have you aboard. Valley End Farm. It sounds beautiful.
Well, we like it.
We like it. So, good enough. We always ask our guests who pays their way. So, you're a farmer. So, you make your money by growing crops and selling them, right?
Yeah.
Any grants from government or anything like that?
Any what?
Do you get grants from the government or anything?
Well, we apply for a grant, you know, here and there to improve our farm. So sometimes
you get a little help.
Yeah, sometimes, but yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Well, folks, not with us today are representatives from the California Department of Food and Agriculture, who refused to participate in this discussion today. And since they are not here to answer the question on the table, it just leaves us to try to speculate up an answer. And the answer we're trying to come up with is, why is the California Department of Food and Agriculture going after Sharon Grossi instead of one of those giants selling us made-in-China organics? That is the question of the day. So tell us about Valley End Farm, Sharon, and how did you get involved in farming? Is it part of your family history?
Yeah.
Okay, been a farmer for generations then.
Well, I was actually raised on a horse and cattle ranch, and then I went to Cal Poly in San Luis, where I still was involved in those types of things. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up getting married to to a dairy and hay guy, so that kind of went that way. And then we ended up just playing with vegetables, and it kind of took off. And then when I got divorced, the kids and I decided that we wanted to keep doing the vegetable thing. So when we moved, we just continued on with the vegetables, and it just grew out of that.
So now it's kind of a mother and son farm, right?
Yes.
Good for
it's
you.
True sense of a family farm.
True family farm. Did you become interested in organic farming when you were at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo?
No.
No.
I think it arose out of just being a mom and wanting to eat pure food.
Oh, there you go. It's probably the best way of getting involved with organic farming. So, when you became an organic farmer in 1996.
Well, that's when we moved. My kids and I moved to this farm,
mm-hmm.
but in actuality, when we were at our other farm, we were involved in organic as well. I just we weren't certified, but I don't really ever believe in spraying harmful chemicals.
Right.
On soil and plants anyway. So even though we weren't certified, we've always been organic per se.
So when did you become a certified organic farmer?
96.
So this is relatively soon, right after the National Organic Program was instituted then, correct?
Relatively.
So it came into being in 1990, and, you know, probably it took a few years for people to figure out how to go about doing this. So you became a certified organic farmer in 1996. Was it difficult to do, to become certified organic?
Not at that time, because where we had moved, there had never been anything grown on it anyway. It just had horses on it,
mm-hmm.
before I bought it. So it wasn't too difficult, because there was no waiting of the 3-year period. We were able to get certified fairly quickly.
Right away. And then you began developing customers. Who are your customers? Who do you sell to?
At that time?
Well, yeah, as you're starting out.
At that time, we were selling into Safeway, all of our local grocery stores, and I think a little bit at Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm. So did you deliver to each store yourself then?
Yeah.
Wow. So you're delivering, and you actually get to meet the produce people, and there you are with your truckload of produce, right?
Uh-huh.
And now you also do a CSA. What's a CSA?
A CSA is where people subscribe and they get what we call a veggie box weekly. Mm-hmm.
So it stands for Community Supported Agriculture. It's kind of like buying forward into the food, right? So people.
I think the concept originally was that the community supports their local farm, so it's kind of a two-way street where the local community benefits because they get to buy fresh, really fresh local vegetables, and the farmer benefits because he has a steady monthly income that he can count on to pay for his farm bill.
Right. So it's one of those genuine win-win things.
Yeah.
Everybody wins. So, and your business grew considerably. You became a mainstay of the organic business there in Sonoma County. You even bought a new farm, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So life was good at Valley End Farm. You have a thriving business. You've got good customers. You've got a great reputation. And everything is going swimmingly, and then something happened. But before we talk about what happened, let's talk a little bit about the NOP and the SOPs for those of the people out there who don't really understand them. The NOP, of course, is the National Organic Program, and the SOPs are the state organic programs. And we understand that there was kind of like a turf war that developed there. And going to have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that turf war and the spat that happened between the National Organic Program and the State Organic Program, at least here in California, and the consequence of that little spat for Valley End Farm and Sharon Grossi. So the question that we have on the table today, ladies and gentlemen, is that why is the government going after the little gal in the name of Sharon Grossi of Valley End Farm instead of the big guys who are importing organic produce from who knows where, China? What do you think? The phone number today, if you care to join us, lend your thoughts to that question, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. I am Michael Olson with Sharon Grossi, and you do stay tuned. We will be right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here with Sharon Grossi. We're talking about an enforcement action by the State Organic Program of the State of California, the California Department of Food and Agriculture. And we're wondering why the state is going after Sharon instead of the big guys of organics. What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Sharon, we're talking a little bit about the conflict that arose between the National Organic Program and the State Organic Program of California. The National Program came out with a report or something that said something was amiss. What was that?
The National Organic Program came out with, I guess they do an audit report. In March 9th of 2009, which anybody can find online.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the state of California got a slap on the hand for not being compliant, not doing their job like they should have. I'm trying to...
Well, you don't have to find the exact wording, but essentially what happened was that the NOP told California that you weren't being strict enough with respect to to policing who can use the word organic or not. Is that generally the case there?
Yeah.
Okay. So, folks, before we go any further, a quick thing about breaking the law. I can remember clearly a high school sociology class who one day asked the class, "Who did not break the law this week?" And, of course, the entire class raised their hands. "Nobody broke the law this week, teacher." And then the teacher started talking about all of the ways that we break the law almost every day. And then, of course, he asked the question again, and everybody raised their hands. And just thinking about how many laws I broke this morning in getting to the studio, there was the fact that the roads were relatively clear, so I didn't stop for a full 3 seconds at the stop sign. And you know that 25-mile-an-hour surface street? You know, there was no cars, and I looked down at the speedometer, and, well, I was going a little bit faster than 25 miles an hour. And then there was the jaywalking. You know how it goes. By golly, if a cop were following me and with his ticket book, I'd have been in deep trouble without even doing anything very serious. But that's the nature of life. There are so many laws that we all break them all the time. So the question is, I guess the government could throw us all in jail if it wanted. So let's go to the notification that Valley End Farm received from the California Department of Agriculture. What did they tell you, Sharon?
Well, if you want to back up a minute.
Sure.
I did find the California SOP thing in the NLP report that's relatively short.
Okay.
Says here, this is in the NLP report, the California SOP has been operating without enforcement and compliance procedures, which is an NLP requirement since 2004. This reduces the NLP's assurance that California, which had over 2,000 organic operations whose sales exceeded $1.8 billion in 2007, was producing organically labeled products that met NLP regulatory amounts. Therefore, we believe that NLP officials need to promptly reassess California's SOP to ensure that it meets requirements.
Mm-hmm. So,
and appropriate enforcement actions as needed. So that states there that California was not being compliant with NLP and that NLP was going to initiate appropriate enforcement actions.
So they had to go find some appropriate enforcement actions, didn't they?
Yeah, that was, I think, me.
That was you. What did they tell you when they first came to you? What did the district attorney tell you?
It didn't come to me. I had my certifier did a surprise inspection at my transitional farm when I was not there. And
okay,
then,
before we talk about a transitional farm, let's talk, describe a little bit about what we're talking about. You had Valley End Farm that has been certified organic since 1996.
Right.
You bought another farm that was not organic yet, and that you were in the process of transitioning to organic.
Yeah.
Which is
As soon as I bought it, I put it straight into the transitional organic program, which takes 3 years.
Right. So, there is a program for transitional organic, right?
Oh, yeah. You get a certificate. You get the whole deal.
Okay. So then the government came charging into your transitional, or not the government, the certification agency.
Right.
Okay. Came charging into your transitional farm.
Yeah.
And what did they find?
Well, that's kind of interesting because of the fact that they came in and just assessed their own decisions, and they never contacted me to ask me any questions about, well, this doesn't look like you're in compliance, so can you explain this?
They didn't ask you anything?
They didn't ask me anything. They just wrote up this report and turned me in.
To the California Department of Food and Agriculture.
Yes.
What did the California Department of Food and Agriculture do?
They sent me out a letter. They didn't call me and ask me anything either. They just sent me out this letter of noncompliance and said that the letter stated that, of course, you know, it followed the guidelines about how you have a right to appeal and so forth and so on. And I just thought the whole thing was ridiculous because I could have easily explained everything. And so I wrote a letter back appealing their findings and their decisions. And I tried to get a hold of my certifier and explain it, but they didn't want to talk to me.
So you're all of a sudden in a George Orwell Brave New World of police state. Let me go through the things that they found wrong. Thing number one they found wrong was that you were using the word transitional organic instead of transitional.
Right.
Okay, and that's the crime that they wrote you up for. Another crime was that you kept a delivery book in the truck instead of at your office.
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever sell any of your transitional organic produce as organic?
Absolutely not.
Did you not tell all of your customers that this is transitional organic food?
I absolutely did.
Okay, so your crime then was labeling something transitional organic instead of transitional.
Actually, it wasn't even labeled. It was only written on the invoices. There was no labeling on any boxes that said that. Everything was sold as conventional, and all of the produce buyers that were dealing with that would have gladly testified, would we have taken it to court in my defense.
Why didn't you take it to court?
I couldn't afford it.
Because
so
it would have cost a fourth.
The settle would have cost me, it would have ended up costing me half to a third of what it would have cost to go to court.
So because Sharon Gross of Valley End Farm labeled her the produce from her transitional organic farm as being transitional organic instead of transitional, the state of California goes after her, and with an enforcement action that gave her two choices. Choice number one, sue the state, which would have cost who knows how many dollars. And choice number two was to reach a settlement with the state. And so she settled with the state on this problem of transitional organic language. And that was that. But wait, that was not that. Because what the state did next comes next, right here on the Food Chain. Michael Olson, Sharon Grossi, Valley End Farm, and you, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1980. Why did the government go after Sharon instead of the big boys? Right back. Well, Sharon Grossi is a farmer, an organic farmer in Sonoma County, California, and a successful one at that. She was so successful with her Valley End Farm that her and her son bought another farm. This, though, was not an organic farm, and so she immediately placed it into the state of California's transitional organic program, wherein, over the course of 3 years, you transition your land from non-organic into organic. But she somehow labeled that product transitional organic instead of organic. And furthermore, she compounded her crimes by leaving her delivery book in the delivery truck instead of having it at the office. And thus, the state of California has gone after Sharon Grossi. And we're wondering today why they're going after Sharon Grossi for such minor crimes as a technical crime like not crossing a T or dotting an I. Why is the state going after her instead of some of the big boys that are really doing some strange things in the organic program? So that's the question on the table today. Not with us to help answer that is a representative from the state of California's Department of Food and Agriculture. They have declined to participate in this conversation, so we are left to speculate as to their motives, and we wonder why they are doing that. Sharon, we're talking a little bit about when they came to you, the California Department of Agriculture came to you with this accusation and gave you a choice. You could either take them to court and fight it, and you had a whole army of people lined up to testify for you, but you elected instead to take option B, which was to settle with the state. And so you settled with the state, and you came to an agreement that you would no longer use the word transitional organic, but that you would use the word transitional, and you would agree to keep your delivery receipt book in the office and other such things. And then what did the state of California do to you?
Well, they ended up, to my amazement and my attorney's amazement, they did a press release, apparently in the first time in the history of the organic program, that kind of twisted around a little bit of what the actual circumstances were, to make it look like it was a way bigger deal than it was, and that they had caught, you know, one of the bad boys, and, oh, look at the CDFA, you know, we're we're in compliance now and we're doing our job and look at us.
So they made you look like you were doing something that you weren't doing. They made you look like you were trying to sell organic food or non-organic food as organic food.
Yes.
And thus make themselves look good.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Okay, let's go to the phones, folks. Why do you think that the state of California and the government is going after Sharon Grassi, the little gal, instead of the big guys? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Let's go to Scott. Scott, welcome to the food chain.
They're in bed with the big boys. The government's in bed with them. They want absolute control over the people, so they've chosen Sharon Grassi as their scapegoat. These bureaucracies are running roughshod over the rights of the people, and even the control of the language by government is unconstitutional. It's like they've got a copyright on words, cured, organic. They steal our words, and then we have to beg for permission, pay them fees to use our own language.
Well, with all due respect, they didn't steal the word organic. We begged them to take it.
Oh.
Isn't that right? Not right? Sharon, didn't we kind of beg the government to take the word organic?
Yeah, in a sense. We were looking for some
protection.
Yeah, I think we were looking for some more uniformity.
Mm-hmm.
As to what the rules would be for all. Apparently, way back a long time ago, there was a little bit of variation as to what the term organic.
Well, there was probably a lot of variation. Well, it probably, you know, it varied from farm to farm to farm, I guess.
Right. And so we as organic farmers, not myself, but I mean we as a so-called tribe, we're looking for, you know, some standardization.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went to the government looking for, you know, some standards that would all would follow.
Hey, Scott, who do you suppose to help the government develop those standards?
Big agriculture, I'm guessing. You know, we gave it to them, but they've taken it and run with it. A term such as certified organic might be reasonable to me, but the entire term organic, tell me, Michael, who determined what is organic?
Well, that's what Sharon was trying to say, is that, you know, nobody really knows. Organic, to me, you know, the whole concept is really similar to sinking a ship on a sandbar out in the ocean, you know, on a sandy bottom. There's nothing there to protect little fish, so there's really no fish. But if you sink a ship on that sandy bottom, it provides protection for small fish, and then pretty soon you have larger fish showing up, and you have a regular food chain going. And that, to me, was really what the word organic was all about to start with. It was like sinking a ship on a sandy bottom in the ocean. It provided an environment, a place for small farms, to a protected place. You know, we're organic and you're not, and therefore we have something special. And indeed, they did have something special. They had hand-sewn, hand-grown, homegrown foods. And compared to, you know, the industrial foods that come out of who knows where, that was special indeed. But they were looking for that standardization, you know, something that would formalize it, I guess. And in the formalization, they gave it to the government.
So it's become a monster and turned against us.
Well,
at least against Sharon Grassi.
Yeah. What would you say, Sharon?
I would say that that's probably the case. But I think organic in at least California is changing, unfortunately, because I think of the NLP report, the CDFA now feels very pressured to perform,
mm-hmm.
and as a result of that, they're going overboard. I think it's extremely unfortunate.
Well, wait a minute. This is fine for them to you know, enforce the standards, but my question is, why are they enforcing the standards on Sharon Grassi instead of the big boys? Why are they going after the little gal instead of the big guys? Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson. Scott, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Michael Olson here. This is The Food Chain. We're talking with Sharon Grossi of Valley and Farm, and we're asking, why is the government going after the little gal for not crossing the T's and dotting the I's when there are so many other big fish to go after in the sea? Why are they going after the little fish, the little gal, instead of the big guys? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Pick up your phone and join us. The government won't talk to us, so it's up to you and I to come up with an answer to the question. So pick up your phone and join us. 800-624-2665, 479-1080. Well, interesting question. Why is the government going after Sharon Grossi instead of the big guys? Sharon, you get a feeling like you're somebody special?
I'm sorry, your phone cut out.
Oh, do you get the feeling like the government thinks you're somebody special?
No, I kind of actually feel like they chose me because they knew that I was small and I wouldn't have the war chest to fight back.
There you go. Well, we have Mark tuning in. Mark says here it works for a big guy organic farm. Mark, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So what do you think? Do you think that it says you work for a big guy organic farm. Do you guys make any mistakes?
Oh, sure. We make mistakes just as your guest does.
And it's almost impossible not for us to make mistakes, right? I mean, is that a fair assumption?
That's a very fair assumption. Nobody's perfect, last time I checked.
So why is the government going after Sharon Grossi instead of the big guys?
Well, I don't think it's instead.
Ah.
I see the government. I think it's a different issue than the way you've framed it.
Oh, good. A challenge. Fire away.
Well, not really a challenge, probably just a different observation. I think when you're a small farmer, you tend to think you're being picked on.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a larger farmer, you also tend to believe that they're only going after the big guys.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Get caught up in your own world. I actually think they're going after, they're upping enforcement on all farmers.
Mm-hmm. And Sharon Grossi is the one who is bearing the brunt of it. I mean, she's the one whose business is getting clobbered because she forgot to cross a T or dot an I.
Well, I don't think she's alone. I think if you go through the enforcement actions that across both national and state governments, you would see a huge enforcement effort against the larger guys as well. So I think it's across the board. And I think the issue that she's facing, honestly, is that when there's a public pressure for the government to do something, they tend to do something. And you have, on the policy side, you have the definition of organic, and then you have to go out in the field and do enforcement. And the problem is the policy people don't really talk to the enforcement people. So as Sharon said, when she wanted to talk to somebody, it's not the enforcement person's job to talk to you. It's only to identify when there's a violation, and they're very black and white.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel for her, and I feel for her, but not alone.
Well, so have they come after you? Or the big company that you work for?
They've come after, I would say, almost all of the larger companies have had some sort of...
So have they filed an enforcement action on you?
They have not filed an enforcement... The California has not, but if you go through just the general public record,
mm-hmm.
which is available, you'll see enforcement action against various of the larger companies across the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the same type of thing, and... It's all, you know, it's relative. The larger the company, the higher profile and the more expensive it is. So it definitely is an economic burden on everybody.
Well, I understand that. It's just that here in California, Sharon Grossi and Valley End Farm was the target of of this enforcement action.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but, you know, of a press release from the California Department of Food and Agriculture that really you know, is kind of misleading with respect
to common practice.
I would like to interject
Go ahead, Sharon.
I could, that, you know, your guest there, that, you know, I don't think that I've been treated the same. I mean, you can say that there's other enforcement with the larger growers, which could be, but none of those larger growers has suffered an inaccurate press release.
That's the
press release.
Yeah, that's
organic program.
So, and that's the question, you know, is I'm sure they're going after you, but they really, you know, are holding up this Sharon Grossi and saying this Valley and Farm was really bad because they're really bad. And we're going to go after, we're going to destroy her business to show everybody else how bad we can be. But they're not going after you, your farm, Mark.
That's not true.
That's
not true. No, it's
true. Okay.
Your guess is incorrect. There are all types of enforcement actions that happen from various agencies. It's not only California. Each state has certification.
Sure, every state has a SOP.
Right, and so what you see across, for a larger company, you will see various enforcement actions from various.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who's talking in the background, but did you ask your question?
I don't know. Well, no, I didn't. I don't know what's going on. We have an interference of some kind popping in.
I don't know. That might be on your guest end. I'm not sure, but I know that. And I look. I'm not. I feel for Sharon because I mm-hmm. absolutely know that what she's saying is correct. I feel for her and understand what she's doing. So I'm actually not in any way challenging what she's doing. I'm just saying that, guys.
You're just saying it happens to us all.
Happens to us all, and she's not alone, and I don't think it's necessarily a proper framing.
Okay, out of time, but Mark, thank you so much for the call, and thank you for sticking up for the big guys, too. Good to hear
more
you.
Empathizing.
All right. Right back with Sharon Grossi and a conclusion. Well, this just in via email. The reason government goes after the little people is because they don't have the resources big corporations have to contest strong-arming. Well, Sharon Grossi, Mark, said that who works with some of the big organic people, that they're picking on them too. But you don't think so, to the extent they are picking on you, right?
Absolutely not. There was a report that was sent out by the CDFA saying that they had imposed 11 organic fines, but yet, I guess I'm number 12, but yet there was no press releases for the other 11. So regardless of who they might be, whether they're big, whether they're small, there was no press release for it.
So it was mostly Sharon Grossi and Valley Ann Farm and their press release letting the world know that because you didn't cross the T's and dot the I's that you were cheating. And what impact did that have on your business, Sharon?
A lot. You know, some of my accounts have stood by me that I sold both the transitional and the organic too, so they knew that I had been honest and straightforward with those. But the ones that I'm hurt on are the ones that I only sold organic to, and you know, I've got two of those that won't even return an email from me, and I've been with them for 10 years, and not only does that hurt monetarily, but, you know, it's a personal blow that one, you know, negative piece of media, they would just throw me away like that without even talking to me.
Let me ask you this, And it's a question that I would love to ask the folks at California Department of Food and Agriculture and the National Organic Program as well, the NOP and the SOPs. Is the word that was invented by small farmers to protect themselves from the giants of agribusiness going to be used to get rid of the small farmers? What do you think, Sharon?
I think it's a possibility. I think enforcement is good because they're in any way, shape, or form of life, there's always going to be dishonest people, mm-hmm. no matter what it is. And it is the state's job to try and, make sure that everything to the consumer, what they pay for is what they get. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important. But at the same time, there's a lot of other things that I've seen as well where it looks to me like they are going after the easy targets rather than the tough targets.
Well, it's not only that the targets are tough, but the targets are big enough to be able to afford to hire the lawyers and the compliance people that it takes to follow those rules, and the small farmers don't. And one wonders if that was why some of these rules and regulations were established, simply to make it impossible for small farmers to exist. And to make it so that only big farmers can exist. Well, that's the question. Wish we could have asked that. Well, we are asking that. We know that the CDFA is hiding in the bushes listening to this program. So what about it, CDFA and National Organic Program? Will you use the word organic that was developed by small farmers to get rid of them? Curious. Let us know. We're at metrofarm.com. Sharon Grossi, Valley End Farm, thank you so much. By golly, I'll tell you what. I would love to eat your food, even though you don't cross the T's or dot the I's. Thank you for joining us, girl.
Thanks. Nice talking to you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.